Symbiotic Nature, a Mushishi fanfiction, written by Jisaidres, read by God of Laundry Baskets. It was unusually quiet in the library. Most would find it unnervingly so. But for Tenya, who had grown up with this unearthly quiet, the silence was rather comforting. After all, it was never truly silent. There was the sound of the breath flowing through her lungs, the sound of her crutches on the stone floor, even the movement of her clothes with each shift of her body. And, of course, there were the Mushi. Tama may consider the Shimi dangerous, but for Tenyu, those little Mushi sleeping in the paper of each recording were one of the few pleasures she had. They lent a soft song into the silence of the library, making the lifeless quiet bearable. For that, she forgave them easily when they unraveled the library's woven tapestry of stories, much as she suspected others would do with a spoiled pet. The Shimi needed her, to live and write, to provide them with words to inhabit. Tanyu needed them, for in their occasional escapades and unraveling, they distracted her from the dead leg beneath her, from the terrible weight of loneliness it dragged upon her. Perhaps this bond with the strange Mushi in this house colored her view of Mushi. Most Mushishi that came to visit saw them as a blight, a disease to kill. Some of them, so confident in their craft, assumed her sympathy for the Mushi simply trying to survive was an effect of her own bond with the deadly Mushi in her body. Tenyu turned at the noise. The white-haired Mushishi had shifted from laying on the tummy mats to looking at her with his one green eye, as she had voiced to him her concerns. Ginkgo. It's not unusual to have an affinity to Mushi. They're living things, too. He leaned back on the mat to resume his gaze at the ceiling. Yet so many tell me to hate them, and I suspect I should with this horrible black mark. She touched her leg with more than a little shame. It's human nature, and Mushi nature too. Eh? A wisp of Mushi smoke rose from his lips as he looked for words to explain. Humans often use the worst example to describe something. Some Mushi kill to survive, yes, but most do not. Even those that do rarely do it maliciously. But Mushishi are usually only called to those worst cases. They are forced to deal with those that are hurting human life the most. And many of those who become Mushishi do because of a traumatic experience with Mushi. Tenyu had to agree with this logic. Many Mushishi were forced into their wandering positions by the unnatural attraction Mushi had to them. Like you. Ginkgo nodded slowly. I don't know if it was always the case, but yes. But you don't hate the Mushi like others. She loved his stories, even when they didn't help remove her curse. Another breath of smoke rose from his lips. Maybe I've spent too much time with them. He smiled at her, and she felt the heat of blush rise to her cheeks. Ginkgo sat up, and she looked back down to the scroll in her lap. Mushi aren't like us. They do what they need to survive. We humans are encroaching into their natural habitats more and more. Because of that, we have to be more careful of them. But many can be beneficial to us, if we're careful. The Mushi smoke curled around his head for a moment before fading away. But humans are rarely careful and forget how dangerous it is when we upset the balance. She knew those stories far too well. Those were the stories that resulted in the Mushi, now the enemy of the town it had once helped, being destroyed. She knew she would feel sad for the villagers that died for their ignorance, but I wonder if I was different, I would hate Mushi too. Ginkgo didn't answer, but after a moment he rose and left the recorder alone with her scroll, pondering the what-ifs of a life without the black mark that had so defined her. She was still wrapped in her thoughts when he returned a short while later. Well, it took some convincing, but Minai Tama has agreed to let us go for a walk for a while. Are you up for it? Tenyu shook away the cobwebs of her troubled thoughts. Of course. The crutch was just out of reach, but Ginkgo picked her up instead. It will be faster if you ride on my back. Do you trust me? Of course I do. She did not mention the small rare joy for her to feel his warmth. Faster to where? You'll see. It was very rare for Tanyu to go beyond the rocky outcropping of the hill that housed the library. Tama generally was the only one who came down to the nearby village, and even that was on very rare occasions. The 2-hour walk was usually too much for the crippled recorder or the old Mushishi. Still, she recognized the path Ginkgo led her down. But what was so pressing to see in the village? Before they reached the last turn towards the outlying houses, Ginkgo stopped and walked into the edge of the scraggly forest that edged the settlement. When the old gnarled trees surrounded them on every side, he stopped. Are you all right, Ginkgo? I'm fine. I should talk to Minai. You weigh less than my chest. She bit back a laugh at his roundabout compliment. Anyways, we're here. I can lean you against a tree. Can you stand? Yes. Now what is it that you wanted to show me? The soft chuckle she felt more than heard was the only answer she got. She kept forgetting how enigmatic the white-haired Mushishi could be when he wanted to. It was after a while, standing under the canopying trees, that Tanya noticed the way they were not alone here. Soft, stringy shapes dangled from the few of the trees, like bundles of silk threads, swaying slightly in a non-existent breeze. Dark green puddles seemed to appear and disappear in the crevices of the roots around them. There were even a few small white creatures, shaped like several arms, pinwheeled together that traveled along the forest floor. All of them were Mushi. Do you see them? Yes, there's so many of them. Tenyu watched, fascinated. They all seemed to be in their own little world, unconcerned about the two humans watching, or even the physical world around them for that matter. These Mushi never interact with humans normally. A few were not even sure what they do. She nodded, still enthralled with the sight before her. That silver Mushi, up there in the branches, is the other form of the one in your cigarettes, right? Ginkgo looked up and nodded. When heated, it becomes the binding smoke. It then dissipates and probably condenses back into the threads eventually. He shifted, pulling a piece of bark away from the tree she leaned against. Look closely here. See the black marks in the deeper wood? That's a Mushi that actually likes being around humans. It keeps many of these old trees alive, despite the rocky terrain and little soil around here, allowing the village to have a ready supply of wood. In turn, the Mushi feeds on the smoke the village produces. Because of that, people call it the Takigi Mushi. Tenyu nodded, a bit lost in thought. There seem to be mushi everywhere here. I never even realized how easy they are to find. They don't tend to stick around places with a lot of human beings. As I said before, mushi meant for human interaction is rare, and most instinctively seem to avoid us. Those that do, well, they are seen as the bad ones, since they are seen to feed off of us. Ginkgo looked at the position of the sun and sighed. Minai will kill me if we don't get you back soon. Looking back once more, as a little family of pinwheel mushi marched around the sandal of her black foot, Tanyu nodded. The journey back to the library was done in silence. Tanyu was still processing the wonder of the mushi she had seen. She could understand how some could be afraid of seeing something so unusual, so different from anything else they knew. For her, they were both wondrous and heartbreaking. To see what she had been hearing about for so long was amazing, but to know that there were so many out there that she would never see made the view bittersweet. Finally, as the house came into view, she broke the silence. Thank you, Ginkgo. Even if I never do break this curse and seal away this forbidden mushi for good, it was nice to see the mushi that the mushi she don't tell me about. Those that just exist. If only... Ginkgo nodded. You will, someday. If I'm still alive, I'll take you. Tanyu tisked and smirked. I told you I was joking. Anyways, you fulfilled your promise with this escape, didn't you? You can forget it. Maybe. If I get eaten by a mushi tomorrow, I'll have that small piece. You are not going to be eaten by a mushi tomorrow. It's possible. You'll be alive longer than I will, probably. Or dead tomorrow. I give up. But she smiled as he returned her back home, back to Tama, the library, and the Shimi. For now. The end. Thank you for listening.